for this transfiguration message and the scripture that serves as its background, we want to share from St. Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 9, and from this topic of, are we ready? Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, meditation, thoughts, the desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, led them up to a mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became a dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwelling places, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down to the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen, until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. In our home, we, from time to time, Lou and Ryan and Deshaun will pull out or will purchase a puzzle and work on it together. My role is to compliment them, to encourage them, and to pick up any pieces off the floor that came as a result of a very active cat. I don't go near the puzzle. I don't want to mess things up. But they can do it. And I marveled at the last puzzle because it was such a thing of beauty. There were over 1,000 pieces when they began. But those 1,000 pieces were transformed into this beautiful picture. There is something about transformation. I looked up both transfigured and transformation in the dictionary. The meaning being to make a great change in the appearance of, especially to something nobler or more beautiful. Transformation is also said to make a great change in the appearance or character. The caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly. Transformation. The experience of Jesus on the mountain is all about transformation. There are several things that are important here. To begin with, there is this context. And that being, Jesus has this moment after saying to the disciples, and all who would listen, those very difficult words. Instead of my trying to summarize them, I wanted to read them to you. They begin in verse 34 of Mark 8. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what they say can, indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory, the glory of the Father." This is the context. So Jesus goes to this mountain to prepare for what is to come. To put it this way, Jesus was about to put into place or to put into action what he was teaching and calling upon others to do. So Jesus is on the mountain. And I wanted to reference that both Moses and Elijah are present. They are historical figures of great significance. It was believed that Elijah did not see death, but the promise was made to him and in the history of Israel that the Messiah would not come until Elijah had appeared. This is why John the Baptist was asked from time to time if he were Elijah. People were looking for some sign that the Messiah was coming. And then Moses was on the mountain, the primary lawgiver for the people. Picture this, that both the law and prophecy were there to confirm that Jesus is the Messiah. Moses and Elijah were there to confirm that, yes, Jesus is the one who could be the liberator, who could be the liberator for all that the people were facing. Or that word comes alive. That word in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Another part of this transformation is that Peter and James and John would experience this moment. It had a profound impact on them that they would both mention it in their own writings. So much of their calling came out of their experience with Jesus. It came out of their experience with Jesus. Transformation happens as we come to know and to experience Jesus in our own way. Your experience will not be like mine, and mine will not be like yours. In our Methodist tradition, it has defined this experience in terms of Scripture, reason, faith, and tradition. In some way, we can define our relationship with God in some of these areas. Or maybe the experience is one of passion, one of spirit, one of emotion. Maybe we don't have the words to describe it, We don't have the words to describe it. We just find ourselves saying, just as I am, Lord. Just as I am. I'm saying that transformation comes as we hear the call to take up our cross, to see Christ as liberator, to have an experience with the Christ. Then transformation is to hear the word and the voice of God. There are only three times in the Scripture where the voice of God is recorded speaking in the life of Jesus. And that was at Jesus' baptism. And then Jesus going into Jerusalem. And then on this mountain. God speaks. And all of us is to prepare. To prepare Christ to go on to the cross. Peter wanted to stay on the mountain. But there is something about hearing the voice of God. Then we are ready. Jesus was ready to face the cross. Transformation is hearing the voice of God. And then we are ready. And so the question becomes, have we been transformed? Have we had this experience? Have we heard this call that would take us up to the cross? To name the very way in which we have experienced the presence of Christ within our life. To have and to hear the voice of God calling us to mission and ministry. Are we ready to be transformed? Are we ready to be the church of Jesus Christ? As transformed people, I want to ask us that this Lenten season would not be something we do just because it is Lent. But I'm going to ask us that this Lenten season would have new meaning. And all that we do in our actions, all that we do in our actions will have a deep spiritual meaning. As we're reading our Lenten devotional together, I hope we will each realize that other members of our church, other people that we may not know, are reading it as well, and that we will feel the power of prayer together. As we come then to our Lenten study, that we might come and gather on Wednesday evenings and we might study the Scriptures of Lent. That in hearing the Word of God, we might then do likewise. And then that we might gather on these Sundays of Lent. That we might gather and truly we might experience the presence of worship. The presence and power of God's presence within the sanctuary. That truly in worship, we know and hear the voice of God. And then to go and to dare and to live what it is we are hearing. On this past Thursday at our council meeting, I asked and prayerfully challenged the council to live and to be in this framework of Lenten season. I also asked them if they would join me and allow all of us to think about what it would mean to send 12,000 postcards to this community. Why, you ask? It is because as I travel to and fro in the area as much as I can, people will ask me, where am I from? And I will tell them with joy and pride, Burns United Methodist Church. And they will say, where's that? Just a few months ago, it has been now, but when we had our new brochure, I got out and I walked the community to deliver the brochure, and most people were friendly. There was one lady who had had a dog, but we'll move on. But most people were very friendly. And as I knocked on the door, I said to this one man, I'm from Burns United Methodist Church, and I want to share with you our brochure. And he said, where is that? And I said, look, it's right down the street there. And he said, oh, I thought that was a museum. 12,000 postcards. I was worried for a while how we were going to get them out, but this morning I'm not worried anymore. Because I think if each of us, if each family, if each home would take about 500 of them, we could label in no time and get them out. Well, I rejoice what the council said, and I was on my way home and I was thinking, you know, if we can just get 5 to 10 families to come as a result of those 12,000 cards, our church then could begin to grow. But I heard the Spirit saying, why limit God? Why limit God? Are you ready? Are you ready for all 12,000 to come? I thought about that. I thought about it and I said, yes. We could have then 8 services over the weekend. 8 services. As people come then, they would get a chance to hear this wonderful choir. I said I wasn't going to do this. Got it. You are a blessing to us, and we don't tell you that enough. And I just have the joy of thinking we'll have 7 other choirs just like you. You will have to teach and train them. But 7 other wonderful choirs just like you. Don and Peggy are going to have to retire now. Come and be with us here at the church full time. You know how I love children and young people. So I thought we're going to have to build a new building after they all come. I was thinking the Ken and Esther Smith building would have to be built. We could have children and youth throughout the week. William will become our youth pastor. I was also thinking about what it would mean to offer training in health care. And I thought the Annie Crowder Health Center sounded good. And Tom and Don, would you tell Sandy she's going to be the dean of the school? I admire so much the work of our United Methodist women since I've been here. And so I thought, Sandy, now we will have 100 circles. And we're going to have general meeting across the street at the school. Every meeting is going to be a potluck. I'll be there to say grace at every meeting. And then the 12,000 people, with all of their gifts and with all of their talents, Together we can change and make a difference in the community. Why limit God, Aaron? Together we can change and make a difference in the world. You may say to yourself, well, this confirms what I've always known, that he needs help. But isn't it better to talk this way, than to talk about the church may close? This is God's church. And God can do anything. Are we ready then? Are we ready to truly be the church and the people of God?